Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Cheryl Selman, and it's great having you join us today for another exploration and in-depth conversation into subjects that women must know. So here's a question for you. What do cancer, heart disease, arthritis, Alzheimer's disease, digestive tract diseases, macular degeneration, and chronic fatigue syndrome all have in common? Well, in fact, they are all caused by chronic low-grade inflammation. So today we're going to be exploring the consequences of this underlying problem that seems to be a primary issue behind all of these chronic conditions and diseases plaguing us in the Western society. And to help us unravel this mystery is my guest today, Dr. Vijaya Nair. We're very privileged to have Vijaya with us today. She's an esteemed medical researcher and epidemiologist with a passion for integrating Eastern approaches with Western medical and scientific training. She originally comes from Singapore, where she earned her medical degree from the National University of Singapore in psychiatry. She went on to complete a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard Medical School and received a master's degree in epidemiology from Columbia University. And she also has been involved with research at the Integrative Medicine Studies at Columbia University School of Public Health. So she has a tremendous amount of experience, knowledge, and I must say warmth, because she is a woman on a mission helping people to find natural solutions to these chronic diseases fueled by the fires of inflammation. She is also the book of Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Diseases. And it's a great pleasure to have her with us today. Hello.
Hello, Cheryl. This is a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the lovely introduction.
Well, you're very welcome, and you know, you are a treat to have on the show. I'll let our listeners know that we recently met at Expo West, the Natural Products Expo in L.A., and I have to say, when I go every year, which is a huge, huge convention, it covers the entire Anaheim Convention Center, and I kind of just wander around and see who I'm attracted to and, you know, where life takes me. And it's always interesting who that connection occurs with. And this year, even though I visited many booths, it was Dr. Nair's booth that really, really made an impression, and we just developed a wonderful connection, friendship. So I'm so pleased that you are able to be here today and share a subject that I know is very near and dear to your heart.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a wonderful, mutually, you know, pleasurable and deeply beneficial educational experience meeting with you. And yes, this whole subject of how do we complement the allopathic, medicinal view, biomedical view, with the integrative East meets West view, that's been intriguing to me as a question mark. Because we see, as a researcher, you know, a Columbian at Harvard and Singapore, you see so many, many chronic illnesses managed only with conventional Western-based treatments, and that don't seem to work all that well in some cases, many cases, actually. And they give rise to a lot of side effects and complications, and you're treating one complication after another. And there's no mention of diet and, you know, pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, remedies. So I'm on a mission. You know, I see so much of benefits with the integrative approach. And like you, Cheryl, you know, we are women on a mission.
Now, you know, you started in a very traditional manner. You know, you went to, obviously, medical school and went on and went to Harvard and went on, got your master's in Columbia. So, I mean, you were pretty entrenched in this allopathic traditional medicine model. What happened to you that opened you to an integrative approach?
Well, that was, if you look at the history of it, I grew up in Singapore, and I took for granted the traditional Chinese medicine and the integrative, you know, the Ayurvedic medicine, the Ayurved, traditional Indian medicine concepts, and there was this indigenous, you know, treatments and, you know, philosophy of the Malaysian, you know, or Indonesian systems as well. So I grew up with that background, but because I was so strictly conventional, you know, you poo-pooed the idea of any other systems working And you said, oh, no, that they don't work. But in my own family, my own father and family members, when, you know, Western medicine, you know, just didn't work for severe arthritis, for example, cancers, they would just go off into a traditional medicine, you know, Eastern approach. And I would be why that approach would work. So it was always intriguing to me when it did. And so when I came across, you know, the Western research at Columbia and Harvard, suffice to say that, you know, I saw behind the scenes the research that showed that a lot of these approaches had, you know, a lot of side effects and complications. The research wasn't reporting it. But it was really when I fell ill with, you know, severe bleeding and uterine fibroids. As a result of uterine fibroids, I needed blood transfusions, and five gynecologists insisted that I do my, you know, hysterectomy, that I started researching, you know, the integrative approaches that I talk about in my book, Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Killers.
Well, I'd like you to talk a little about your experience with fibroids, because this is such a common problem for women. It's the leading cause for hysterectomies, and it's often a very confusing time for women because they don't quite know what to do. Traditional treatments are very invasive, but, you know, if you go to a traditional medical doctor, there's not much that is really offered to you other than these, you know, types of invasive treatments. So what, can you just share a little bit about your experience and, you know, what went on for you? What do you think was behind it, and what did you find as a solution for it?
Well, when I had the uterine fibroids, you know, they were growing. And I tried different herbs and remedies, you know, and then there was this conventional treatments they want to do, and, you know, you're trying the DNC, the cleansing, and then, of course, it went on to whether you were a candidate for a myomectomy, which is just, you know, taking out the fibroids by itself. But I had too many. And the suggestion was, because I was, you know, I wasn't into childbearing again, they said to take everything out, you know, meaning clean out your uterus, take out your uterus. It was useless. You do not need it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a very conventional medical thinking. And hysterectomy, as you know, Cheryl, is the most commonly performed operation surgical procedure on women, you know, who have these issues. And there's no questions asked. But unfortunately, in my case, my family members, my mother and my aunts and my cousins, anyone who had gone, they all have family history. We all have a strong family history of uterine fibroids and even cervical cancer and all kinds of issues around the uterus, which is very interesting by itself to explore in another realm. But those of them who had gone to surgical procedure suffered immensely afterwards. They had abdominal colic and adhesion colics. And life was so miserable with this hormonal therapies, replacement therapies. So I resolved that that's not my path. And I was, you know, every procedure that I tried, including the uterine artery embolization, where they actually cut off the uterine artery that's supplying the fibroids blood vessel. And that helps to shrink the fibroids a lot. And it did. It worked for everything. Every treatment I tried worked about 6 to 8 months. And then, you know, it failed. And then we were developing the Jiva line of supplements with fermented soy and curcumin. I was flying all over the country, talking to people who had recovered from cancer just using fermented soy or curcumin. And then I decided, you know what, we could combine these two very, very powerful anti-inflammatory remedies. And my God, we should be seeing a lot of good effects in all kinds of illnesses. Because we know that countries that are taking fermented soy and curcumin and ginger and garlic as part of their natural diet, you know, they do so well in terms of prevention of Alzheimer's and even uterine problems and, you know, cancers, you name it, cardiovascular diseases. So that's when it suddenly hit me, I can take my own product, except that I didn't get the right dosage. So I checked up the research and took the right dosage. Within a week, you're not going to believe it, the uterus shrinks by 70%. And the bleeding becomes normalized. So
Let me see if I hear you correctly. When you took the products that we're going to talk about in a little bit that you developed using fermented soy and curcumin, which is the active ingredient of turmeric, when you took those supplements, in less than a week, you were able to shrink the fibroid 70%?
Well, it shrunk because I took the ultrasound at the end of a month, and the doctors, my gynecologist, couldn't believe it and said, how did you shrink? Because, you know, you were starting to bleed a lot, and there were clots, big clots coming out 6 to 8 months after I did my cauterization procedure. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't explain why it was happening. And, yes, I took my own nutraceuticals at a dosage that I knew research-wise that would work for tumors. This was about 4 to 5 grams of curcumin a day, which is about, you know, the capsules we have is only half a gram. So you take about 8 to 10 capsules in divided doses. And this is safe. This is a safe, natural, anti-inflammatory product because curcumin is the active ingredient of turmeric. And then I took the fermented soy.
That's amazing. So we're going to get into the subject of inflammation, but while we are on this particular subject of fibroids and the successful treatments that you found, working with the products you've been developing, why did it work so well? What was going on with the products and the tremendous results you got so quickly?
Well, I think it's because the curcumin and fermented soy, they work through the the anti-inflammatory pathway. We call it the NF-kappa-B. The pathway is where it sort of all converges, that inflammation, chronic low-grade inflammation, if you think of chronic low-grade inflammation as the basis of all disease states, you know, like cancer and infection and tumors, and Alzheimer's and heart disease, you name it, that's the chronic inflammatory, chronic inflammation that's happening in our bodies. So if you address the chronic inflammation, if you reduce inflammation with a proper anti-inflammatory diet and anti-inflammatory products, natural products, you can reduce that inflammation. It's simple. So once you start doing that, addressing that, and we know naturally fermented soy is one of the highest, you know, ingredients, most powerful anti-inflammatory ingredients we know. The Chinese have been using it as the medicinal foods for centuries. They don't eat unfermented soy. That's so no good for your body.
Yeah.
It contains a lot of anti-nutrients, and, you know, you do not want to take unfermented soy more than, you know, 2-3 times a week at the most. You know,
so I think that's a really good point. We need to just highlight while we're having this conversation that there's been tremendous promotion of soy products, soy milk and soy flour and soy nuts and you know all the soy that's available. But in actual fact, unless you are using a fermented form of soy, the other forms, which are considered unfermented, are really not only indigestible, but can they also be harmful as well to our health?
Yes, they can. If you drink large gallons of soy milk, some people think you drink like water, oh my God, it's going to affect all kinds of systems in your body, primarily your thyroid, your endocrine function. You do not want to take soy milk drinking it by the gallons. Absolutely not. How the Chinese and Japanese and Koreans and, you know, the Indonesians have been taking soy, it's fermented soy, small amounts every day, including turmeric, including the curcumin, small amounts every day. They make a tremendous difference in your life and quality of health care.
Because I think that's a really important distinction for people to be aware of, that even though it took a long time for the marketing of soy to get us to really adopt soy in our diet, it actually turns out to be a really bad thing unless it is a fermented form of it. And there aren't that many fermented forms around. There may be miso, and there's tempeh and natto, and then, of course, you have it in your products, your fermented soy products, which we need to explain a bit more. And before we do that, because let me just say, when you were researching at Columbia, this is how you first got into this
area
of fermented soy. Can you share a bit of the research and what you discovered?
Well, this was interesting. When a company actually approached me with a fermented soy beverage from China, and I almost fell off my chair when I saw the report, because I said, my God, they have actually produced a liquid fermented soy, because you know the Chinese have been eating it natto, the Japanese have been eating natto kinase, the Chinese have been eating fermented tofu. They're all like chunks of food, but here you have a concentrated liquid. But unfortunately, it tasted so bad. It's very hard to, you know, to take it, unless, of course, you're very ill, you know, you'll take anything you can. But I started submitting case reports of patients who got well from terminal cancers, from HIV/AIDS, you know. And I started submitting case reports to the National Cancer Institute. They had the Office of Cancer and Complementary and Alternative Medicine had a program. And we started a best case series, they call it. And they looked at all the best case nutritional therapies that made a significant impact in the lives of patients who had terminal cancers. And we got an award, a statement of understanding, because I submitted 15 cases. Seven of those cases came in the highest category. And two was in the highest category, the five were in the next highest category. And they, at the end of it, after 3 years, they said, you know, 2 years, they said, you know, Dr. Nair, you can get clinical funding for doing the larger studies. But by then, the report that, you know, the fermented soy was having such a tremendous effect on patients' lives attracted attention of the head of department and his doctors at the palliative care department at MD Anderson Cancer Center, which is an arm of the University of Texas in Houston, Texas. So I started doing the clinical trial is actually running now. But then I spoke with the research scientists and the teams at MD Anderson, namely Agrawal. Bharat Agrawal is the head of Cytokine Immune Research Lab, and he was at the same time researching curcumin. And he found similar stories of patients with breast cancer and colon cancer, and there were a number of studies being done at NIH, National Institute of Health, on curcumin. So we teamed up together and we came up with the Jiva line of supplements, which is available in retail stores or on my website, www.jivasupplements.org. And Jiva is spelled J as in Jack, I, Indiana, V as in Venezuela, A, Jiva, J-I-V-A, supplements.org. So we came up with those supplements with fermented soy and curcumin, ginger, cardamom, pepper longa, and all those incredible ingredients. And this is a patented proprietary formulations. And we use some of the best. The soy is organic, non-GMO soy, which is how people should be taking it.
So can you share some of the cases that you wrote up when they were taking this unfermented soy that you were impressed with?
Well, certainly. We had case reports of patients with breast cancer, for example. And there were a number of reports that I sent up to the National Cancer Institute. But one particularly was a nurse. And she had been diagnosed with stage 2, stage 3 breast cancer, ductal carcinoma. And she was a nurse. Her husband was a doctor, which is what amazed the scientists and, you know, the review board of the National Cancer Institute. This was somebody in the medical field, you know. And she refused the mastectomy or the lumpectomy and, you know, followed by the lymph node clearance. And that can cause sometimes huge problems. She just took the fermented soy. And within a few weeks, you know, there was no more, you know, cancer in her breast. And we followed her up for 2 years. The National Cancer Institute, the doctors, the review board, followed up with her mammogram, ultrasound, all her biopsy results were there. And definitely the malignant cells had converted to a more benign form, and you know, she had no cancer. She was living cancer-free for several years now. We had reports on a patient with prostate cancer, for example, who had a definite, you know, biopsy done. We knew what the Gleason score was. We knew it was a definite prostate cancer. And yet, you know, with the fermented soy, you know, the by palpation, by ultrasound, you know, you couldn't feel the tumor anymore. And he's living, you know, cancer-free for several years now. So like that, we were getting more and more reports of people who were doing well with terminal cancer. But there is a caveat here. There's a caveat, Cheryl. I found in my research and, you know, basically there was a lab, a genetic lab, that was outside of Hamburg in Germany, and we found that different people had what we call different genetic expressions, you know. So some people responded favorably to the metabolites in the fermented soy, and they had what we call a dramatic improvement in their cancer. And it works by, you know, decreasing the blood supply, anti-angiogenesis. The fermented soy actually had induced apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. So malignant cells just multiply by themselves. But when you have the fermented soy, what it helps to do, the genistein and the datasine, especially genistein, it sort of helps the DNA of the cancer cells revert back to normal cell-like state. So they die at a certain rate. So you could reduce the tumor load. And we can measure it. It's the apoptosis index. So we know that certain people were responding faster than others because of the genetic makeup.
So did it work on all people, even though some had, you know, their genetic makeup predisposed them to get better results?
Yes.
The others take longer but still get outcomes?
Well, they had improved quality of life. They were suddenly not feeling the side effects of the chemotherapy or the radiation they'd gone through. They had more energy. But the rates at which the tumors decreased really pretty much depended on how the genetic makeup was. And that's why I'm a proponent of, you know, sometimes you have to do individualized, you know, blood samples or your biopsies of your tumors to see which combination of chemotherapy and natural products work. In fact, I have recently an example of a woman who was told she had to have bilateral mastectomy for both for breast cancer, and was stage 3, stage 4. The prognosis was really bad, and they wanted to remove both breasts, give her a small dose of chemo radiation to shrink as much tumor as possible, and then do the mastectomy. Now, she took the Jiva. She took the Jiva, the fermented soy and curcumin, and within about a month, the tumors were starting to shrink really massively, and the doctors now, she just called me a few days ago, said doctors don't know what to do with it because they had originally scheduled a mastectomy and there they couldn't find the tumors anymore. So
oh,
we see many, many cases like that, and I'm saying you've got to document it, and it doesn't mean everybody is going to respond, but you have fermented soy and you have curcumin. So you want to give them a try and work with your doctor. So my advice was find a holistic surgeon who can do an MRI on you and go with their recommendations what to do now.
So how would someone find out their genetic, you know, types of cancer, I guess is how you would say it? What kind of test and where do you go to get a test like that done?
There are a number of labs that do the genetic ID, we call it. Genentech does that. And we have a lab in Long Beach in California that does that. Anybody who wants that information can email me on my website, Jiva Supplements, jivasupplements.org, and I'll be glad to send them that information.
Oh, that's great. You know, can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Because I think this is really critical information that people are not aware of. I don't even know how many oncologists are aware of this and utilize it.
Well, it is a very, very, you know, it's a lot of oncologists will say, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, and some of them are for it. So there's a lot of debate going on whether we should have individualized personal, you know, personalized medicines, so we call it. And, you know, it's not an easy decision to make, but I think you don't have to shoot with a bazooka, you know, your whole body, you know, wherever you have cancers, because when you give chemo radiation, it's like a bazooka. You're shooting everything for that fly on the wall. You know, I think a targeted therapy definitely works. And more Western, you know, treatments are looking into that. And there are oncologists who advocate that you can do, you know, more personalized testing to see natural products and, you know, chemotherapy combination, which would work. In fact, that was what we did.
So they can. So with that test, you send a swab or something in, and then is that how you do it, or do you take a biopsy? I mean, is it a doctor has to do a biopsy?
You can do both. I think it's better to take your cancer cells.
Uh-huh,
if you do a biopsy,
uh-huh.
Before you go for a biopsy, you say that, mm-hmm. you know, you want to check for your malignant cells, which combination of chemotherapy and natural products would work. So you have the clinic with you in mind, and you make sure your doctor or surgeon, whoever's doing your biopsy, understands that that's your wish. And some hospitals do that automatically. There are hospitals that do that. And then, you know, you do a combination with a natural product as well that you recommend, either fermented soy, curcumin, whatever you feel that, you know, would respond well with your chemo. And give them a number range, and they can test it. It's not very big deals. It's not hard. It's available now.
You would think that would just be a fundamental thing every doctor would be organizing for the patient. If there were a test, as you were saying, that could actually tell you from your DNA kind of predisposition, what you respond to best.
Well, no, like I said, NCI has to come up with their own, it's still an infancy stage, I would believe, although it's been around for more than a decade now, and you would hope that that information would, pervade everything. And I think you have to have a set of guidelines. Whereas you can aid the researchers studying the interaction of nutrients and genes, and this science is called the science of nutrigenomics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's in Europe, it's available in Europe, and it's available here, but people have to know. And it's been around since the turn of the millennium. And many scientists believe that one day that will bring about big changes in how food is grown, processed, and consumed, so that we know. And we need to use science to use genetic testing to be able to tell people what kind of foods and supplements they need to take in order to reduce the risk of certain diseases. So it's a preventive as well. And
you know,
that can be done. That's done now.
Is this an expensive test?
No, it can cost about, it varies, $700 to $1,000 to $5,000. GeneTech, I think, is one company that does it, GeneTech. But you can find it. If you say genetic testing, there are a number of labs now I've noticed that's come up these days to check. To test you, and that's one of the things that's very, very interesting. And the guidelines are based on, the principles on which there's a general consensus, like in Europe, in the European Union, they have this nutrigenomics, and it must stand out. The FDA has to come up with the more, the stringent criteria. How do you measure this? What's the role of foods and supplements in prevention? Because you know that one in three Americans are going to get cancers. That's a lifetime risk. And it's actually coming to one in two. And they believe that two-thirds, National Cancer Institute has put out statement to say two-thirds of cancers are preventable with lifestyle and diet, meaning, you stop smoking, you address your obesity, issues, and diet and supplements are very important in this. You can reduce cancers.
Right. This is such important information. And,
yes.
And it is not expensive considering that if you can find what would be most effective in helping your body to heal and to create apoptosis and reduce inflammation, it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, but then you see nutrigenomics, that's the science of, the study of how nutrients and genes interact and how genetic variations can cause people to respond differently to food nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nutrigenomics also raises many ethical questions about the privacy aspects of personalized foods and diets, genetic testing, potential high cost of new functional foods. So there's a whole realm to worry about. But at the individual level, you certainly want to go for the testing. You certainly want to have the test to see, even if you're well and normal, if you can afford it, find a laboratory that you can do, for yourself and for your family. What are the kind of foods that you can take? What are the functional foods you can eat? What is going to reduce your risk of illnesses? What do you have? It's always a good test to do.
Okay. Now, that's great information. So can we talk a bit about curcumin? Because this is something else you've been researching, and I certainly take it every day, but most people aren't aware of what it is and actually how phenomenal the active ingredient of the spice turmeric, it really is for our health.
Yes, it's absolutely wonderful. And like say, Bharat Agrawal, the head of research at MD Anderson Cancer Center, has written hundreds and hundreds of papers to show how it works. And we know that it affects the chronic low-grade inflammation in the body, the NF-kappa-B. And the curcumin...
Anyway, can you just explain what NF-kappa-B is for those of us who are not well-versed in this?
Well, NF-kappa-B is like a pathway for anti-inflammatory pathway, and it's a pathway that triggers off a lot of the inflammatory, what we call the cascade, that when you have the inflammation, at the heart of all the inflammation-related diseases is this nuclear factor kappa-B, and it is a protein that plays a key role in initiating inflammation. It turns out by it works by turning genes on and off. NF-kappa-B, the nuclear factor kappa-B, it's not inherently bad because it protects you also from infection. But if NF-kappa-B is constantly activated, that's when it turns against you. So when you wake up the sleeping giant, so we call it, it turns on about 200 or more genes that wreak havoc in your body. And inflammation gets turned on, your ability to kill the abnormal cells get turned off, and then you become resistant to insulin, which puts you at greater risk for obesity and diabetes and much more, all because this one little protein got activated. Hmm. So when you get cancer, for example, Cheryl, NF-kappa-B is activated. When you get heart disease, NF-kappa-B is being activated. When you get AIDS, Alzheimer's, asthma, everything, it's arthritis, any condition in the body, your NF-kappa-B is being activated. So the key to halting inflammation and preventing these chronic and, you know, sometimes fatal diseases is to turn down the NF-kappa-B. You don't want to shut it off completely because you need some inflammation in your body, but you want to get a balance. So the key word is balance. And what excites me is that natural products actually do a better job, it's good, a much better job than pharmaceuticals at turning down NF-kappa-B. So when you take a leaf, for example, or you take the ibuprofen or, any of the painkillers, they address inflammation by addressing NF-kappa-B. But long-term use of these pharmaceutical, drugs can cause severe liver problems, kidney problems, and dependency on them that, you can easily not have these by taking natural products, like curcumin, for example, and fermented soy, resveratrol, all these green tea, they all work through the NF-kappa-B channel.
Okay, that's great. That's a good explanation. I appreciate that because I think we need to understand some of these terms to really grasp why the products such as curcumin or the fermented soy and resveratrol and other things have such a profound impact on reducing the inflammatory response.
Absolutely. And in my book, The Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Killers, it's not a big book, and it's written in a way that's like a fifth, there are diagrams in it, and we talk a lot about these concepts in a very, very simplified language.
Yeah, I know, it's a great little book. So let's now we can proceed to curcumin. Let's talk about what it is, what it does, why it's so phenomenal as a healing food, and the impact when it is combined with the other amazing healing food, the fermented soy that you have been researching.
Absolutely. Curcumin, the turmeric has been taken for centuries in the eastern countries like India and China, Japan. They take curcumin in the form of turmeric. Curcumin is only the active ingredient of turmeric, only 5 to 6% of turmeric. It's a root. It's a root. It's a root of a plant. Only 5 to 6% of turmeric is the active ingredient called curcumin. And the research shows that curcumin is a very powerful antioxidant, and it's 10 times more active than vitamin E, for example. It was a potent anti-inflammatory with efficacy rivaling both cortisone and phenylbutazone. And how does it work? It works in many ways, but one of the primary models, like I mentioned, is to turn down the same pro-inflammatory protein that, like cultured soy, the fermented soy shuts down the NF-kappa-B. In other words, curcumin tells the body to put away, like the fire engine, that's gone havoc and it's like spraying and spraying the water hose. Mm-hmm. When the fire, when inflammation in your body, that's the analog. And so the fire engine is just, putting down the fire and the inflammation. So the body tells the fire engine, the immune system to shut down. But the curcumin behaves like that. It resets the body, rebalances the body. And it tells the body enough is enough. That's don't kill all those immune systems cells turning against you. So stop it. So that's a very powerful activity it does. Curcumin also works in humans in another way. It works, for example, in arthritis. We did there was a study consisting of 18 patients with rheumatoid arthritis, and just 2 weeks of curcumin caused very significant improvement in morning stiffness, joint swelling, and walking ability. And human cell studies have additionally shown that curcumin, again, suppresses repeatedly the inflammatory chemicals that contribute to development of osteoarthritis. So just in arthritis alone, you see a huge difference. When patients sometimes take one capsule a day or two capsules a day, you notice a significant improvement in the pain and the swelling associated with the arthritis.
Now, I read that every cancer cell line, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this is just kind of from memory, that every cancer cell line that was tested with curcumin actually showed a positive response to curcumin. So basically, turmeric, or the active ingredient we're talking about, has the ability to make a huge, huge impact on reducing a variety of cancers, many, many cancers.
Yes, it's not just one. And that's why it's very, very exciting product that researchers are talking about now, and they are saying now to use it in conjunction with chemotherapy and radiation. You know, if you have those, you know, if you have to go for treatments, use curcumin. A lot of the enlightened oncologists will advise you to do that. But of course, you meet oncologists that, you know, are favoring a particular chemotherapy because the pharmaceutical company is behind it, and they don't want you to use any kind of foods or antioxidants. And they'll tell you, no, you cannot take anything. Well, that's not true. And I advise people, come and look at my website, Jiva, www.jivasupplements.org, and you may find links to MD Anderson Cancer Center, and you can research that. They have used many, many, many chemotherapy agents in conjunction with curcumin and shown that it really works and enhances the effects in the body of the chemotherapy, and you don't have to use such toxic dose. But more important, Cheryl, it decreases the chance that the malignant cells becomes chemosensitive or chemoresistant, we call it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a deadly news for anyone to hear when you say, you know, the doctor tells you, I'm sorry, your cancer cells are not responding to treatment. We have to use more toxic chemotherapy for you or more toxic radiation dosage for you. You mm-hmm. do not want to hear it. You're already suffering so much, and your family is suffering with you.
Yeah. Right.
You want to do the proper research to show that if you take the curcumin and the fermented soy, that will decrease the incidence that the cancer cells become, you know, chemo-resistant. That's one of the important things that curcumin and these natural products are so invaluable in you know, using as natural products when you go through these deadly kind of, you know, treatments associated with cancers, for example.
So you can be taking these products when you are, if you choose to do chemotherapy at the same time?
Yes, I always advise you to look at the research and talk to an integrative nutritionist. There are many nutritionists who actually work with oncology patients who are aware of this research. Your oncologist may be too busy to know what the latest research is. So I point them out in the right direction. Look, these big hospitals are doing, like Columbia Presbyterian is doing, like, MD Anderson Center is doing, like, you have so many centers now doing research on curcumin. No doubt, small animal model, but there are more than 30, you know, studies being done with National Institute of Health, NIH funding now. So you want to look at all that. You want to arm yourself with a lot of papers and show your doctor, see, we can use it for my chemotherapy that you're recommending. See, you can use this for radiation. What do you have to say to that? You know, when you present that kind of data to your doctor, you know, sometimes the more enlightened ones will take a look and say, all right, use it. But some of them, if you're on a clinical trial, they will say, no, you can't take anything else except this pharmaceutical drug. Then you have to make a choice, a decision. Are you going to do that? It's your life at balance. You're not a mere statistics in some clinical trial, are you? Talk to your doctor.
You know, I know I've
changed the doctor, better still.
Better still. And I have talked with people who have been diagnosed with cancer and chose to do the chemotherapy, and their doctors strongly advise them to stay away from any supplement, any antioxidant, you know, anything that could, in my opinion, really support the body, deal with this toxic treatment. Why do you think there is such resistance by the medical profession to the
use of... Well, you have to see who's funding the trial. If you are a patient and your doctor has put you on a clinical trial, you may or may not know about it. All you know is that your treatment is being paid for. You have to find out more where your money's at, you know, what's happening with your treatments and why your doctor has invested kind of, you know, I hate to say that. Many oncologists depend on pharmaceutical companies to fund their research and to, you know, to give them their salaries or part of their salaries. And, you know, it's a fact of life, and that has to be brought out, and it's being brought out. Doctors are now being severely censored to, you know, to show what we call the conflict of interest, you know, to show which pharmaceutical companies they are aligned with. You have to ask them these hard questions. Are you aligned with a pharmaceutical company that's giving you the chemotherapy? Is that the best chemotherapy for me? Or is it because, you know, somebody, a big pharma company, is paying you? So a lot of behind the scenes that unfortunately I found out more and more as I was digging deeper into research, that this is happening all over the country. So it's very hard, and patients must be informed. They have to ask the right questions.
Right. So do you think that the use of curries, which has, of course, the curcumin in it, it's that yellow-colored spice, do you think, and all sorts of the other great ingredients in curries, do you think that is contributing to low incidence of cancer in India? Is that true, or is that a myth?
You know, I think that's very true. They have a study recently. It's called the Prevent Cancer or Prevention Study. It's called Worldwide, you know, Cancer Incidence, and it was a study that was done over 30 years by the Cancer Research UK. And in my book, at the back of my book, I give you the website where you can go and look at it. And it's startling because it shows a world map. And Cheryl, yes, you see in your the book, you may have the book in front of you, the mm-hmm. incidence of cancers. In Asian countries that are taking traditional diets, it's less than 100. Some cases, it's less than 50 per 100,000 of the population, whereas in American countries, North American countries, and a lot of Western countries, it's more than 300 people per 100,000. That's why we have like one in three people getting cancers in this country. And we show that the incidence of cancers in countries that are taking fermented soy on a daily basis, small amounts, but daily basis, curcumin and turmeric, as you pointed out, on a daily basis, the incidence of cancers are much lower, especially prostate cancer, ovarian, breast cancer. There is a place in South India, in Tamil Nadu, that the incidence is only like, say, 9 per 100,000. It was incredible why that place has so low incidence of breast cancer. It's got to do with the diet, lifestyle. And people in this study that they did it over a 20, 30-year period, that reverted to Western type of diet, like in certain cities of China, they were monitoring. When they became more Western diet, the incidence of cancers, especially breast cancer and prostate cancer, shot up because they weren't taking traditional diets. They were taking Western-based, you know, high-caloric saturated fats, trans fatty acids, you know, all the junk food that we put in our body. You know, the incidence of cancer has gone up. And also, what about the incidence of Alzheimer's, brain? You know, a lot of people are worried about Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, taking curry on a long-term basis, or turmeric or curcumin, and curcumin capsules are just as good. If you don't take turmeric on a daily basis, take mm-hmm. the capsules every day. Mm-hmm. It's a much more stable form. The incidence of Alzheimer's and dementia is very, very low in countries like India. Very low. So mm-hmm. is arthritis. Mm-hmm. It's all got mm-hmm. to do with the diet.
Right. So what did you find when you combined the curcumin and the fermented soy products?
Well, that's why I'm a proponent how the Indian Ayurvedic physicians, and I talk to some of the best in the world, and the traditional Chinese physicians, they feel that if you just take one ingredient alone, you know, one powerful ingredient, it has too many side effects. Whether it is fermented soy or curcumin, you know, anything that you take by itself, you know, if it has too much of side effects, you need to temper it with other ingredients that can, you know, address the side effects. At the same time, provide a very mild, you know, profile when you take it. So the fermented soy and curcumin, because you can use combinations. Now, I cook all the time with fermented soy sauce and turmeric and spices, you know, and ginger and garlic and extract. We use that in our supplements. You find that you start feeling much better. You don't fall ill. Your immune system is much stronger, and you have this natural energy. You don't have to depend on caffeine. You're not addicted to sugars. That addiction sort of wears itself down. You don't have to force it. It's just like you don't feel hungry. You don't have a craving for sugars. So when you find that you combine the primary and the secondary ingredients together, there's a good synergy. And this is only by research that we know, and by talking to the traditional practitioners, you know, how do you combine these herbs and spices and formulas.
So the products that combined the fermented soy and curcumin can be used as daily supplements.
Yes,
you can take them safely on a daily basis, not just when you have a specific problem.
Well, for both, but we advise on the wellness thing to take it as a prevention. That epidemiology studies are showing that countries, and like I said, look at the back of the book that I wrote, Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, Other Deadly Killers. We give you information in the book and in the back cover of the book. If you pick it up, you'll see that, you know, that the research is showing that it's diet. And what is about the diet? They're using fermented soy, they're using curcumin, they're using, you know, turmeric, not, I mean, garlic extract, you know, cinnamon, cardamom. All those spices are good for you. So, yes, you can take it if it's, make sure that when you take these supplements that they're all natural, organic, you know, that they're good products that, you know, have some research behind them. You know, then you're safe.
So, I mean, this is such a fascinating topic because it just reminds us that our food really is our medicine. And even in chronic health conditions, if we give our body the key nutrients that can address some of these issues, like the inflammation, we can reverse these conditions.
Absolutely.
I mean, you must see that and hear it every day.
Every day. I am so blessed to be doing what I'm doing because this time it's like, you know, people really get better. And, you know, my book, The Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Killers, we don't just talk about the supplements and diet, but we also talk about the other things that you need to do. It's not a magic pill. I don't want your, you know, listeners or anyone, even the readers of my book, to go around thinking, oh, Dr. Nair is talking just about popping a magic pill. There's no such thing. You have to take responsibility for your health. You have to know. So we talk about the nine principles. We talk about, you know, eating right and, you know, what are the pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory, you know, foods that you need to take. But we also talk about getting exercise, get moving, we call it. You know, when you move, when you exercise, research is showing that, you know, it breaks down, you know, toxins in your body. It builds a strong immune system. And, you know, it helps you deal with inflammation that's going on in your body. So, you know, even athletes benefit from understanding that. And, you know, exercise is a very important part of our daily lives. The third thing is get regular massages. And people may think massage is an indulgence. It's not. I prefer to look at them as part of the exercise program. Exercise keeps everything flowing in your body, your blood, your lymphatic systems, what the Chinese health practitioners call qi or vital energy force, prana. The Indian Ayurvedic system calls that. So massage has similar benefits. It gets rid of, you know, knots and tension, but it also increases blood and lymphatic circulation. In fact, we have enough evidence to show that, you know, people are not aware of lymphatic drainage and lymphatic system, you know, circulation, how it helps to get rid of toxins in the body. So that's the regular massage. Then you want to give yourself the gift of sleep. People don't understand that. You know, you need at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. And to rejuvenate your body, and that's a natural sleep, and, you know, it is a necessity for us to get for good sleep. And it also you can skimp on other things like television or catching up on the news or surfing the internet, but you shouldn't skip on sleep. Your body will appreciate the rest that you get. And just one night of inadequate sleep can cause your levels of inflammation to rise. So imagine what chronic sleep deprivation does.
Yes.
Then, of course, we talk about detoxifying your home, you know, what you want to, what are the hazardous waste products that you have around there, and my book talks a lot about that. And then you detoxify your body, the cleansing, you know, mechanisms you can go through, the hydrotherapies that you can go through, the colonic wash, you know, what is good, what is not. And then, of course, you want to change your mind, have a positive outlook. Research is showing that those who are more positive can, you know, outlive those who are more negative. And that actually, if you come from a space of gratitude and, you know, blessings, you know, you deal much better with inflammation that's going on in your body. And, of course, meditation. The meditation is so vital. Even when I was so sick, when I meditated, you know, it helped me go into a space of healing. And I always encourage people, 20 minutes of meditation twice a day, you know, will do wonders for your body and in between whatever activities you're doing. And just take any meditation that, you know, that you're feeling comfortable with, that, you know, that you can do on your own as a practice. And lastly, we give back. Whatever we have got in life from God or whatever, you know, force that's out there, universal intelligence, whatever you may call it, you want to give back to the planet. You want to give back to your fellow man. It doesn't have to be with money. Maybe just your time, just being with another human being, helping them out. That's giving back. And that all these steps will help you to lead a more vibrant and radiant life.
And, I mean, there's such, you know, profound words, and we all have to come back to understanding that it's getting back into balance again on all those levels that is essential for healing of any condition, you know, a physical condition, but even if we're talking emotional and mental conditions, we have to get back into balance because somehow our condition was created because we were out of balance. And we need to restore balance and harmony within ourselves on all levels. And it's great to be reminded how important these things are. Even a simple thing like a good night's sleep has a profound effect on our health. And a massage. I like what you said. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity, and we need to be incorporating it along with all the other things you were talking about.
Absolutely. Sometimes people get overwhelmed and ask me, Dr. Naya, what do you want to start with? And I always say you start with meditation and rest. Mm-hmm. Just take time out just to meditate and rest and have a journal with you. You know, and just start as you're resting and meditating, you know, your body's wisdom will speak to you, advising you what to start, how to do it, who are the people that you need to contact with. And, of course, we need a good support system, Cheryl. We need people who are like-minded. You don't want the naysayers. You know, sometimes when you talk to your family members even, they can be naysayers when you say something good that your body needs and they put you down. Please don't have these toxic relationships. You know, keep them to a bare minimum. Go find people who are supportive and like-minded like you. Encourage them in your life, you know, talk more to them. So family members who are negative, you know, just, you know, say thank you, but no thanks.
Right. You know, obviously that could even be part of why you have a problem because of that toxic environment on all levels. What are you working with now? What are some of the projects you're involved with?
Well, we have some very exciting. One of the chairman of our board, Senator Omar Raines, and you can read about his exciting adventures and his exciting life. But he's also the president and the chairman of Reed Global, Rural Education and Development Global. This is Bill and Melinda Gates funded initiative that helps to bring libraries to third world countries like India and Nepal. They have 44 libraries now in Nepal and a huge one in India and many others developing in India, in Bhutan. We just signed a memorandum of understanding to bring libraries there. And it's not just libraries, Cheryl. It's also Women's Empowerment Center. It's healthcare. So we're very involved in bringing the prophets of Jiva to bring healthcare to the poorest of the poor communities in the third world countries. So we're very active about doing that. And we want to look into, you know, looking at malnutrition and HIV/AIDS in India and Africa because we know turmeric and curcumin and fermented soy, they are very powerful immune-boosting natural products. And they can be used successfully. We have seen time and time again individuals with compromised immune system, how they've bound back to life given these natural supplements. So we're working with the Nelson Mandela School of Medicine in South Africa, to bring these products there and to do a clinical trial there. And, of course, in India and of course, here in the U.S.
So you're actually going to be able to provide these supplements to people in the third world?
Yes, and the profits, a significant proportion of the profits of the Jiva supplements will go towards our humanitarian efforts. Absolutely. That everything that you do should be about giving back a proportion of that to the people who can't afford it. And we want to encourage people, you know, in these countries who are not just poverty-stricken but have a serious malnutrition and HIV/AIDS, you know, we think we can make a significant, profound difference. And so, yes, we are speaking with interested organizations on this topic.
Well, it's really inspiring what you're doing, not only the products that you've created based on your research at Columbia University, and now you've taken it and it has become one of your missions in life in doing the research. So you have the clinical studies behind it and introducing it into the world, and hopefully more of your colleagues in the medical profession will also understand the role that these natural supplements have in the healing process.
You know, there are a number of scientists already working in this field. We're not reinventing the wheel, Cheryl. There are scientists and doctors who know this profound, you know, impact. So we're trying to bridge, be the bridge where we can show the research into the allopathic field and help to publish more of the articles in the allopathic, you know, biomedical journals to show why the combination treatments, in what we call integrative medicine, that's East meets West. It's not one or the other. It's integrative medicine. So we want to show why integrative medicine, combination of the Western biomedical approach with intelligent use of natural products, anti-inflammatory remedies, you know, depending on the disease state, you know, it's a multidisciplinary approach. So we want to include, it's an inclusive phenomena. And if something doesn't work, we want to know about it. And, you know, each person is, like I said, is different. Different genetic makeup, and you know, so we've got to use the genetic testing, we've got to use the technology that we already have developed in Western science with the ancient wisdom that comes from the Eastern philosophy, holistic medical practices.
So why don't we give your website once again, and if people want to learn more about your work and your research, if they want to find out more about genetic testing, where to go, they can contact you. So why don't we just give out that address, that website address?
Sure. The website address is www.jivasupplements.org, and Jiva is spelled J as in Janet, I-V-A. Or you can call my 1-800 number, 1-800-517-7606. Again, it's 1-800-517-7606. And the name of the supplements is Jiva, J-I-V-A. You can go to any natural health store and ask for the Jiva supplements. They should be carrying it, otherwise they will bring it in. And the book is available. The book is Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Killers. It's easy to read and understand, but it explains a lot of these concepts. And it's available on Amazon.com, and you can order it in any natural health store as well. They should bring it in.
Well, it's just been a wonderful pleasure having you on the show and sharing such important information. I just wish you all the best, and I know that your work will be going far and wide and helping so many people.
Thank you so much for your good wishes and your generosity to have me on this show. I wish you all the best and your listeners all the best in your wonderful journey of health and healing. Thank you.
Thank
Namaste.
You. Namaste. You have been listening to Dr. Vijaya Nair. She is the creator of fermented soy and curcumin products that have had clinical research showing their benefit in reducing inflammation. As always, it's great to know that nature does give us solutions, and it's right here and available to us, and some amazing results are available. I also want to let everyone know, if you haven't visited my website, What Women Must Know, I invite you to do so, because in 2 weeks, I will be hosting a two-part tele-seminar called Osteoporosis, The Myths and Truths That Are Bones. This is a free class. It will be available to anyone, anywhere in the world. And all you need to do is opt into my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com. And if you can't make it those two nights, it's the I'm checking the dates right now as I'm speaking with you. It's Tuesday, June 16th and June 18th. If you are not able to make those dates, then we will be recording those two classes. And if you go to whatwomenmustknow.com, you'll be able to access it there. You know, osteoporosis also has an inflammatory component, and not to mention mineral deficiencies and acidic body and stress. And there's just so many issues that impact the health of our bones. So this is a chance for you to get the true lowdown on the bone story, which is really important because we all want to keep our bones healthy and strong at any age. So I guess we are wrapping up another show. It's been such a pleasure being able to share this information with you. As always, I am Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and I invite you to be with us the same time next week for an opportunity to get greater wisdom, greater knowledge. And until then, have a healthy, happy, and whole week. Bye for now.